Entry number 4. Note to self. Look back at this and laugh. The diary entry is a funny kind of note to self. Funny because it's very likely from a time you'd rather forget. But forgotten or not, your old diary entries are you. At least a part of you. And if you don't like that self, there is one thing you can do to try to get rid of it. For our last story, Dan Hirsch visits a public reading of Private Writing and returns with new insights into the nature of self. Or maybe just some dark high school poetry and a postal service cover. Or maybe both.
Cleaning out my room the summer before college, I discovered a big box filled with keepsakes I had collected in the last 4 years of high school. Among the scraps of old birthday cards and postcards, I found at least 3 journals completely filled with writing that I had done during my freshman year of high school. I had forgotten that these even existed. Of course, I read through them all. Pages and pages of inner turmoil manifested into writing. I had forgotten what life at 14 had been like, everything that went through my mind then. How strange that only 3 years later, I felt so completely removed from that person, that I had forgotten all the hours of writing he had done pouring his soul out into the pages of his notebooks. My life's real heavier than when I used to... Recently, some friends of mine took part in a reading of sorts at their house Kairos, one of Stanford's co-ops. But it wasn't just any old reading. They were reading from writing they had done in high school. Angry poetry rants against parents' breakup laments to share with their entire house. As a former high school journal keeper myself, I had to go. 20 or 30 people gathered in the house's living room and waited eagerly for the embarrassment to spring forth. Shy at first, unwilling to resurrect their high school selves, they eventually took turns bearing old angst to a room full of people.
This is junior Susan Norse reading from an online journal she kept in high school.
January 27th, 2004. Ooh, that's so close. Mood, empty. Music, Something in the Way by Nirvana. Have you ever had the feeling that you are no longer living, but simply surviving? That you are a chunk of meaningless matter that simply consumes the resources of the earth and gives nothing back but waste? You are alive in a sense. You breathe, your heart pumps black blood shooting through...
I talked to Susan a few weeks later about what it was like reading this in front of her entire house.
That this is all there is to life and all there ever will be.
So this was my sophomore year in high school, and it was... I guess a pretty low point in high school. I had just broken up with my boyfriend, yada, yada, yada. I'm not sure what it was about this particular day. This was probably my most depressing entry in my journal. I actually, on the next day, go back and it was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that. So even then I realized it was a little bit ridiculous.
Was still there. At least I would be more than an empty shell. I suppressed the pain, so now there's nothing. Nothing at all.
So you say now that even then you thought it was kind of ridiculous. Could you ever imagine yourself, when you wrote it, reading it in front of a room full of people?
Oh no. Oh no, not at all. I don't know, like, I feel very dissociated from the type of, from the person who wrote that story and that entry, just because my personality was so different then, and my situation was so different in high school, that I don't really even feel like the same person. So I feel like coming back and reading it now, I'm reading the diary entry of someone else.
How many people you've altered, for better or for worse. Once your small amount of time is up, you turn instantly into a rotting shell. You become food for bugs, a purpose more meaningful than anything you ever accomplished in life.
That was great.
This is senior Margot Isman singing a song she wrote at 14.
But I'm actually going to sing a song that I wrote.
Yes.
When I was all of 14. It's called Lullaby to Myself.
And you'll have to forgive me, I had to sort of reconstitute the chords because it's been 8 years.
This was a little strange for me because I actually went to high school with Margot. I knew her when she was writing songs like this. She joined my conversation with Susan in her room at Kairos.
But I actually don't remember the specific person or thing I was writing about, but I remember the feeling, and I was feeling like I had just been through so much, and I felt like I was too young to feel all the feelings I felt. I remember feeling that way, that I really had lost my innocence, and somehow there was something that was gone that was I was never gonna get back. Which, of course, as a 14-year-old, is hilarious.
I was a little stunned by how much people laughed. People were reading confessions filled with sadness and deep existential questioning. And while I did laugh along with everyone else, part of me thought that it was a betrayal. A betrayal of our past selves and the very idea of keeping a private journal. We were laughing at someone else's personal pain, even if that someone else was from the past.
Well, it's just that I guess that when we're younger, we think that everything we've gone through is the biggest that it will ever be. We feel like there has been so much in life, and that how could there possibly be anything more? And then we go beyond it, and we come into college when obviously, like, our worlds have been blown open. And you look back and you think of how naive we were then. And it's just funny because, I don't know, if you think back to, I guess, just how stupid we were, funny to laugh at that.
Well, I think anything might be funny 5 years later, because we're caricatures of ourselves. Like, I don't know, I think especially when you're going through all of these emotions of adolescence and stuff, you try to craft a personality for yourself, and that is really, it's humorous to look back on because it's so overblown and so it's a caricature. So I wonder if that will be true. I mean, I thought about this on that night, that I wonder if we would look back on ourselves now in 5 years and be like, oh my God, I can't believe what I was like in college. I've been alone with my
feeling like June 2nd, this would be 2004.
Oh no.
It's a magical year.
Prom was last night and I'm f***ing depressed.
This is senior Sam Ermey. He read from a journal he kept during his senior year in high school, in which he fell deeply in love with a pretty girl named Kate. Unfortunately, Kate did not return Sam's feelings.
I never got to dance with Kate. In all, there were only two slow songs of the evening. Only one and a half, really, because the second one wasn't very slow. Both times, she just left the dance floor fast, and I couldn't get to her. The first time, I almost did. I called after her and even managed touch her right elbow with my right index finger. She didn't notice, and I was off and running. I ended up dancing and then grinding with
Here's Sam when I talked to him in his current girlfriend's room at Kairos. She started
leaving before I mean, we already heard some doozies of, you know, 17-year-old journals, which, you know, I chuckled at when they were read, and then sort of reading it out loud, I realized, oh my God, you know, mine isn't that different from these other people's, except that, you know, I lived mine.
Perfect. and her back still had 10 lines from her crew uni. I wasn't sure if she was trying at all to avoid me or if it was just my imagination when she never seemed to stay in the same circle.
I guess when I agreed to read these things in front of everybody, I didn't really expect, I wasn't sure, you know, what to expect. And for some reason, I kind of expected everyone to, like, you know, be totally there with me, you know, however, 4 years ago, and just to be totally devastated. And of course, you know, they weren't there with me 4 years ago, exactly.
To the after party, she wore a pink striped tank top and jeans. I kept trying to see what room she was in for some reason, which I couldn't quite give. Other than that, she was too beautiful not to look at. I wanted to talk to her. It was too shy, too smart, too unsure of what she would think of me. Brought my guitar and tried to play some Nick Drake songs, but it was too much. Nice.
I mean, I found myself laughing along with everyone just involentarily. I'd never laughed at this before. But, you know, it was funny.
I love her stupidly and against both of our interests. I love her so much, and nothing will even come of it. I can see it, but I try not to believe it. Even when I do see it, it doesn't help me. I can look back and say, what idiocy, but still, in the moment, I'm in love. Jesus, f***ing the way she smiled at me as I walked into the atrium that night, just enough to get my hopes up. And now, all I can do is hope for divine intervention and call her and ask if she'll talk to me over coffee or something. God, I feel awful.
As a teenager, you've got to work through a lot of complicated and confusing feelings. In order to grow up, you've got to move on from those. For my friends at Kairos, reading those thoughts aloud helped them perhaps finally get over any of the lingering emotions of adolescence.
Yeah, I guess I like to pretend that I'm not in any way related to that person anymore. So maybe by thinking it's funny and maybe by sharing it in this sort of environment, it's a way to detach yourself further from that. And pretend that, hey, look at how much I've changed.
In some ways, reading it out loud was sort of like a final act of letting go of it. You know, putting it down on the page is like the first act of letting go of the experience. So that's one, letting go. And then time heals and smooths over and all that stuff. And then sort of releasing it into the public domain, as it were. You know, there's only one person on earth who wrote that down, that's me. But now there are, you know, 20 or 30 people who have heard it. And so it's sort of the lasting version of Sam's prom night is now held. You know, I'm only a minority shareholder in that now.
What you were saying before, I felt a little protective of my 14-year-old self. Like, I didn't want her to be hurt by it. But, you know, she doesn't exist anymore, so.
And I actually ended my high school journal notebook with a note to my future self, which was look back on all of this and laugh, which obviously has happened.
Yeah. Kind of free after having shared it, you can sort of let go of that past self, you know.
Well, I don't know if I can do that, but you know, in some sense I have, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, the emotions were really authentic, and I think one of the things that I felt when I was going back and reconstituting the song and trying to write the chords again so I could perform it, it was basically that I felt the emotions all over again. Like, I felt sad, and I felt this feeling of having lost something that, you know, maybe belonged to me as a child that didn't belong to me anymore as an adolescent.
Though you might forget or feel detached from the person who wrote an online journal, or the person who wanted so badly to be Ani DiFranco, or the one who can remember which part of which finger touched the girl of his dreams, those past selves stay with you whether you like it or not. I had completely forgotten what I wrote in my freshman year journals, but when I came back to them my freshman year in college, that person was there again, vivid and alive and an undeniable part of me. Laugh at it, throw it away, or burn it. the notebook with the lyrics copied of some bittersweet pop song is still floating around somewhere. Same goes to the awkward and sensitive kid who thought that song was talking directly to him and his own heartbreak.